Hello, and welcome to a slightly spooky Tammy Ginder special.
Well, it is Hop Tune A here in the Isle of Man, and we have been tasked with finding out all about the spirits of the Isle. And once again, we've headed to what is reputedly the most haunted house in the Isle of Man.
Yes, regular listeners will know we were there last year. Things did go bumpy in the night. But fearless souls that we are, we decided to go back and try and find out a little bit more. And we recruit a few more helpers this time as well. So, without further ado, let's get in the car, head up north, towards the most haunted house on the Isle of Man. Well, here we are again, 10 past seven on a late September, not quite October evening. Perhaps a little earlier than last year, but we're heading up north again to where, Beth?
Well, we're going to Milne Town again. It is, without doubt, one of my favourite places in the Isle of Man. But some bright spark, and he's not sitting too far away from me here, thought we should go and reinvestigate the issues of bumps that go bump in the night.
No. Yeah, I would just point out at this juncture, last year, after we stayed the night there, everyone said we should come back and investigate further. Everyone said, oh yes, let's do more investigation, everyone said.
Well, it's like, you know, you only say to people that you haven't seen for ages, oh, we must get together. You don't mean it.
Yeah. So who's actually staying over tonight?
Well, here's the thing,
yes,
my love.
Yes,
right? I would love to, but it is my son's birthday tomorrow and I've got a party to organise. I can't be tired. So what I've organised is for you and Chris Sully to stay. You can hold each other's hand and
you'll
see what happens. Yeah.
Fine. And in the interim, we're going to have a little meeting beforehand. We've got a couple of guests.
We have. We have Alan Shaw, who is very well known around the island for doing ghost tours, and he does a ghost tour around Milne Town. And he's bringing a medium with him. Because who else do we need in a situation like this but somebody who actually talks to spirits?
Well, that's true.
Arrive at Milne Town then we did, and Alan Shaw from Isle of Man Ghost Tours was there, but he did not just bring one medium. Oh no. He brought two mediums. So we had Trudy Crowe.
That's almost full size, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, stop. The only thing spooky about this programme so far is your jokes. Yeah. Trudy Crowe is a medium, as is Stuart Blackmore, and they have had a long experience in doing events like this, going into places and getting a sense of what's there. So that is the purpose of this evening, and we have got some experts, I think it's fair to say, with us tonight. We obviously have Charles Gard. Lovely to have you with us again, Charles. From your point of view, how convinced are you that there are goings-on of the spiritual nature in this house?
Well, over the year, since last you were here, we've had two quite major incidents that have given one pause for thought. Both, Janine won't mind me saying, our estate manager, Janine Whiteway, a marvellous lady who's running it all for us, she was in the office late one night at the far end of the upper corridor in the extension, or the wing, and all by herself, the rest of the place had been locked up, and she heard footsteps coming up the stairs. Now, she assumed it was either Adam, the gardener, or somebody, and she shouted out, I won't be second. And these footsteps came along, and she then went to the door and looked down the corridor, and there was nobody there. And she saw the carpet being depressed. And that's when she decided it was time to get out. Now, this depression of the carpet is something that quite a few people have mentioned here over 30 or 40 years. And a couple of months later, Adam just casually remarked to me, one day, he said, my God, it's a noisy house, isn't it? He was in his little office at the side there one evening finishing off a report, and he said he could hear all the footsteps running around and children laughing and everything. And at that time, the main house was locked and the motion sensor alarms were on. And Adam's terribly laid back. He's just very casual about it. I thought, blimey, I certainly wouldn't be staying there by myself, even if I was writing a report.
Yeah, makes me glad we're here again, H. Thanks for that. Alan Shaw from Isle of Man Ghost Tours. Now, this is a favourite of yours, I think it's fair to say. You do the ghost tours around this house. And I suppose it's the same question for you. Are you a person who sees the spirits, or do you just retell their stories?
I just retell the stories. I'm not lucky enough to see the spirits. But Milltown, yeah, is definitely our favourite. It is the most haunted house on the island. We can genuinely say that because a lot of the ghost stories are documented. And we've spoken to so many people like Charles that they just come forward with these stories. It's just great. It's just lovely to be here again.
And you have had times where you've been showing people around the house and things have happened to them as they've been on the tour.
We've done many, many tours of Milltown House now. And yeah, thankfully that we have experienced things ourselves. As Charles said, footsteps, noises, rappings and tappings. And we're lucky that people do experience things. They don't often tell us on the night. They think they're a little bit embarrassed, but they do email us or text us the following day to give us their stories.
So we have had a little wander around this evening. I think people have been wandering around. Stuart, Trudy, Alan, you've all been around a bit. Has anyone felt anything this evening when you've just been wandering around the house a little bit earlier on before we sat down?
I think you're best asking Stuart that one. Stuart's our medium.
There's lots of activity around the house tonight. I can't sort of pinpoint one better part than the other, but particularly the green room, that was very active, and the back hallway as well, on the staircase there. Won't tell you too much at the moment because hopefully you'll pick up on things, but very, very active, very active. And we also picked up a young girl as well, didn't we?
And a young boy
on the staircase as well.
And that was on the main staircase going upstairs? Or
young boy's actually sitting on the little wicker chair at the bottom of the staircase.
I'm just fascinated by the idea of mediums and what happens, how it works for you, how you first know that you are a medium in the first place. What exactly does that mean?
We can pick up on the scent of something. We can pick up on a spirit. In my case, it doesn't come to me in a visual. With other mediums, it may do. With me, it's a case of it comes to me in a feeling in my head. And if I say to you the name Boris Johnson, instantly you've got that image in your head. You've got that blonde hair, you can probably hear him as well, and that's the images in my head that I get, and then I portray and tell people of what I'm feeling, normally then backed up by Trudy as well. That's what I get. Yeah.
And do you feel in the same way, Trudy? Is that a similar experience for
no,
you?
No, I actually see them, but it's all in your head, if you know what I mean. It's like being shown a picture.
Mm-hmm.
The first spirit I saw, I was 2.
And do you remember that one?
I can still see them. There was 5. I was lying in bed. And I woke up and there was 5 adults looking down at me. And that was the very first experience I had.
And I know it's often said that children in particular are very receptive to this sort of thing. They don't have the same sort of barriers perhaps as adults do. Why is it then that some people can and some people can't have access to this sort of information?
Everybody's
got it, yeah.
It's just whether you develop it or not.
Yeah.
As you grow older, society tells you there's no such thing as ghosts.
Mm.
So therefore you start to believe it and you disbelieve what you see.
You also disbelieve what you feel as well, because you may walk into a room and you feel, oh, my arm's sore, my leg's sore, whatever. You'll just push that away and maybe it's a bit of a muscle tension in yourself. If you walk out that room, have you still got that pain? If you haven't got that pain, then it's something to do with that room. Something why? And that's where we come in of why is there a pain there? I walk in a particular room here and I get sore legs, the top of my legs. I walk out the room, I'm fine.
You had a really interesting question actually for Stuart. You were talking about Milltown being hundreds of years old. And if that was the case, then why didn't the spirits from different ages all bump into each other?
One classic thing that I use is, can Energy FM hear Manx Radio at the same time? No, they can't.
No, of course it's
because
it's different frequencies,
and that's exactly the same as spirits. You can't pick up on different frequencies.
So they wouldn't be aware of each other. So somebody from 50 years before or 100 years before wouldn't
no,
be aware.
No, because they'd be on different frequencies.
Wow. And does that ever come into any sort of conflict?
If it's family, they may do.
Right, okay.
Because obviously the family have family connection. But if it's to do with Fletcher Christian, who was here, and another Christian 100 years before, did they have any memory? Where's it the grand family, the grandfathers? If there's a no, then there's no memory between A to B, so they won't know each other. We may pick up on it. Trudy picks up on a lot of different things that I do. Trudy goes a little bit deeper, don't you? So that's where we're good in working together, but the spirits don't. The spirits don't.
So again, we moved the wicker chair back in here a few minutes ago. Do particular spirits, will they sort of have a focal point on certain things? So like the wicker chair might be one thing for one from one generation, the bed might be something else, the staircase, whatever.
We may have brought that in because there may be a spirit who used it in those times. I'm interested to see what that brings to the party.
Definitely.
Yeah, because sometimes if you move an item of furniture or even renovate a house or change the decor, it can actually upset them. And you'll get more activity because they it's not familiar to them anymore. So the missing chair, the lady could be looking for it. Because she's in this room, she hasn't gone into the bathroom, she can't find it.
Yeah. So they will tend to focus on one area. So if a spirit's in this room, this will kind of be its stomping ground, effectively. They're unlikely to go to other parts of the house, or would they?
They may do.
Right.
They may do, just depending on what connection they have with that room. Just because they're in here doesn't necessarily mean they won't go to the kitchen or dining room. There may be a connection there, a memory of something like another chair or a book or something that just brings them to that part of the house.
So for the spirits, it's a bit like my wife will move stuff around at home and I go, she's decided to remodel the whole bloody living room or whatever and things are moved around. So for the spirits, it would be as annoying as that. You come back and go, why, what?
But, yeah.
And I know you're going to move it back in a month, so okay.
Yeah, exactly that.
Yeah. Especially if they've placed that item of furniture there or they've painted that wall that certain colour and somebody comes along and changes it, it's like somebody coming strange into your house and, say, putting bright purple on your wall, and you're going, no, I don't like that. So you get a bit cross, and that will then, the energy builds up, and that's how you get that little bit extra activity.
So we're aware that change happens all the time. As people, we know that buildings get converted and changed and whatever. Do they accept it in the end, or do they yearn for it to go back to as it was, do you think?
They live with it, but bear in mind it's in their memory. So you may change a house, change a room. In their memory, it's still that room in their particular way. We went to a school two years ago, and the room, as you look at it, was going one way, but the spirit was telling me it goes another. Now, when I spoke to all the teachers, they were going, no, it's always been like this. A very elderly teacher, didn't she, Alan, came in and said, no, this used to be the dining room, and it was this particular way. I didn't know that, I never went to that school. But it's in that spirit's memory of how it was then.
And that's how they walk through walls.
Because the walls weren't there before, it was a doorway.
Exactly, or it was no walls there at all.
Would you not stay here?
No.
Is that because you get a bad vibe about the thing?
No, I would stay in the room awake, but I wouldn't want to sleep in here at all. To me, it'd be lowering my defences, and I would rather be awake and see them, know what's going on, possibly feel them here, there and everywhere, but not go to sleep.
You've already said, and I understand completely, and I agree with you, don't tell me what it is, whatever it might be, and we'll maybe talk to you afterwards, and you can tell us tomorrow on the phone, we'll get something. The only question I'll ask is, do you feel whatever it is there any malevolence, or is it a sort of fairly benign thing? Yeah, that answers the question. The silence answers that question, doesn't it?
I think that depends on which spirit we're talking about.
Okay, so there's more than one. Good. Okay, yes, we'll leave it there because I don't want to judge. And as you correctly said earlier, yeah, if you start telling me somebody, you put it brilliantly earlier, somebody walking through in red boots and whatever, yeah. Exactly. Okay, yeah. Good.
Okay, we're going to try another room?
Yep, let's go.
Take your time, Beth.
And that was recorded in the green room, as it's called, where we actually spent the night, Chris Pearson and myself, talking there to Trudy and Stuart and getting a feeling about what they feel. Now, I confess, as you were saying, Trudy says that sort of she believes this ability is in all of us, and I don't know whether you can train it or some people are naturally more disposed to picking up on these vibes, these, I don't know what you'd call it, these sensations, this feeling of being in contact with, I assume, the sort of the spirit world. Again, it's not something I feel I have a great sort of empathy with. I'm always open-minded, and I'd love to think I could feel something, but I never do.
I don't know. It's a really interesting question, I think. There are so many people who claim that they do have this ability, that they do sense something. I don't think there's any doubt that we really wanted something to happen in some ways. And as you mentioned at the beginning, we were there this time last year. And the night in general was pretty uneventful until it got to the early hours of the morning, so sort of about 4, 4.30. And we heard what we thought were knocks that we couldn't really explain away. But there was nothing more than that. But so that's why it's so interesting, I think, to go around there, especially with Trudy and Stuart, and just see it almost through their eyes, through their experience, and see what they get.
Totally. And again, they definitely were picking up on things. They sort of sensed characters. There was a little boy, I think, called James that Trudy was talking about. Now, I didn't or couldn't sense anything. But this little boy cropped up sort of several times. And Trudy also uses, as well as just sort of her own ability, as it were, as a medium, she also uses, and again, you see this sometimes.
A long pendulum with energy balls at the bottom. Mm. And the idea, I think we'll hear it explained, actually, is that you can communicate with a spirit in this way. And we're going to put this video on the Manx Radio Facebook page for you to have a look at. I think have a listen to this first of all, and then we'll have a chat about it afterwards, but it's interesting.
Okay, here we are back upstairs again now. Where are we, Beth?
So we're in Lady Edward's sitting room, and Alan was in here with the camera and picked up some movement by the curtain where we're standing here. So what I've got, that Trudy's very kindly let me have a go of, are these called energy balls? Is that what they're called?
It's a pendulum.
Pendulum.
The two balls are energy balls.
Okay. So what happened in the room next door was that we saw there was some energy activity by the fireplace, mm-hmm. and then Trudy took the pendulum out and literally just have it on your finger. I'm not moving my hand at all, and the idea is that we can ask yes or no questions and the pendulum will move if there's a yes or no answer. So I've been talking to you, I haven't been moving around, it's sort of like moving just, you know, as I probably, just a general sort of tremor in the hand, but nothing major. So, do you want to ask a question? And I suppose the first one is there anybody here? Can you see it moving? I'm not doing that. I'm really not doing that. Thank you.
Okay.
What are you going to ask?
I don't know, actually. What am I going to ask?
Have we got a child visiting us? Thank you. If you want to, go down to the child level now. Which is better when you've got children.
Crouching down a little bit and see. Okay, so it's pretty still now then, Myth. Okay. Right, you got another question?
Have we got a little boy here? And thank you, sweetheart.
It's definitely moving again now as we ask those questions. And coming back to a sort of central point again. And still recording.
Hello, sweetheart. Would you like to come forward and see you can come and touch the pendulum, the little balls? Sometimes if you ask a child, they will actually pull the pendulum towards them. So it won't swing, it will just move towards the child. Hello, sweetheart. Are you happy that you're here tonight with us? Thank you, darling. And do you like living here at Milltown Estate? Thank you, sweetheart.
Well, certainly quite a bit of movement there. As we're asking the questions. Fascinating. I think it's the talk of child, and obviously I don't have children, I must admit, so I don't feel close connection necessarily, but Beth, when she was doing that, did seem very, for no apparent, obvious reason, seemed to be very emotionally charged with it, I would say, and that sort of, you know, had tears in her eyes and actually backed off in the end. I think she sounds like she's all right now, but there was definite an emotional engagement, involvement, what would you call it? I don't know, but it was there without a doubt, and yes, And you did feel something at that time.
I really did. And I am not, as we'll hear in a moment, I'm not somebody who finds emotional displays in public very easy. So it's not something that I would have wanted to do. I think, as you will see, if you go to the Max Radio Facebook page and watch the video, it was just like that, because I was fine. And then all of a sudden I wasn't. Lots of reasons it could have been, I don't know. But it's one of those unexplained things, I guess.
It is unexplainable. And listening to that recording there again, you hear twice some electronic interference. Now, you do get electronic interference from time to time. It does seem more prevalent there for some reason. And also, we should mention, twice while we were there that evening, all the power in the house went off.
That was incredible.
It was a still night.
There was no
thunder. There was no wind. It wasn't stormy. It was a very still, calm night. And twice, for no apparent reason, all the power in the house went off through the trip switches.
We were in one of the bedrooms that belonged, I think it was Sir Clive Edwards's bedroom. And literally, Christy and I were looking at a photograph of him on the mantelpiece on the fireplace in the bedroom. And I said to Christy, oh, I bet that suit that he's wearing is probably still in the wardrobe. She opened the wardrobe and she's like, there it is. And then the power just went out like that. Again, you know, the power tripped. I'm sure that's all it was. But it certainly was enough to make us jump a little bit. But
it does make you wonder. Just things like that, as you say, you can explain it as you wish. You can just be a cynic, say coincidence, you know, these things happen. It's an old house, old wiring, whatever. Or you could believe there's more to it, or some sort of connection. And I don't know, is the short answer. It's the thing we keep trying to find out, and it's an uphill battle. It was time for a little bit of supper, and so we headed to the kitchen and did discuss more this curious emotional charge that you felt.
It's a little bit strange, really. So we did the pendulum in Lady Edward's bedroom, and that, you know, that was amazing. Chris videoed it, so we'll be able to put that on the Facebook page. But the idea that you ask questions, and if there is a presence there, then the pendulum moves. And honestly, I swear to goodness, I was not moving it. And I think, hopefully, you'll be able to tell that from the video. Then we went next door into the sitting room, and to all intents and purposes, there was a spirit of a child in there. And we were asking questions, as we had done in the room previously. I just started to cry, which is unlike me. I'm not a public crier. I don't think you've seen me cry many times. It was just really, really strange. I was absolutely overcome with it, and I don't...
And do you know what it was you were overcome with?
No, because I didn't feel... I didn't have any sort of like, oh, that's making me cry feeling. Do you know what I mean? I wasn't sitting there thinking, oh, this is why I'm crying. It was just a... I don't know.
Well, it's interesting because I had a go with the pendulum as well. It wasn't moving the same for me. Now, I don't know, there was a feeling that Trudy was saying sometimes it was a little boy she felt, and if he'd been sort of maybe mistreated or such like by a man, then maybe he would be more receptive to a woman than a man. I don't know. Suffice to say, I didn't get the same reaction when I was trying.
No. And I think talking to Trudy afterwards, she said one explanation could be that maybe I was picking up on potentially the spirit of the mother and the sadness that she felt at losing this little boy who, again, according to the questions that were asked of him, seemed quite happy where he was. I don't know. And I didn't have an overwhelming feeling of like, oh, I don't want to do this. It was just, yeah.
And it wasn't a feeling of grief or...
I didn't feel anything. I wasn't feeling anything other than I was crying. Weird. And I just felt a bit stupid now, but never mind.
Have another beer.
Okay.
So, yes, the evening went on. People stayed around until about 11, 12, then most people went off. Chris, Pearson and myself stayed in. The doors were locked, the front door was locked, and we locked the back door ourselves before we went, as per Charles's instruction. We then paddled round until the wee small hours and then crashed out in the green room. Did we see anything? Well, here's a chat we had the next morning.
It was much, much quieter than last year. The green room, which when I slept in it last year was incredibly cold all night long, the time's gone off again. On your phone. It was incredibly cold last year. This year was much warmer. Now, whether that was because there were two of us sleeping in the room, who knows? Also, of course, bear in mind, we did come in October last year. It's the end of September, so there's an element of that.
Absolutely.
But again, you could feel, even as we were walking around, the time's still off on the phone, even as we were walking around the house last night, that room was distinctly colder than the other rooms. And it was when we went in at 1 o'clock in the morning to sort of put the sleeping bags on the floor and crash out. But in the night, I was hotter and hotter.
Yeah, me too. I was overheating. I must admit, at one stage, it was a distinctly warm. We did have the chair in there. We brought the wicker chair in. But I mean, every time I woke up, I had a look around, but yeah, nothing, I'm afraid. I didn't get anything. You wake up in the night, have a look at that?
Yeah, no, I had a good look. Every time I woke up, had a look through. So I was sleeping sort of right in front of the wicker chair, and nothing at all. Didn't feel anything different, any presence or anything like that. No, just yeah, it felt perfectly normal.
I had a debate last night as well about whether to split and go into two separate places. Although the Alan and Trudy and Stuart were all very much a case of the green room's the place to be. So, because we did hear some of those footsteps and knockings last year from downstairs overnighting in the lounge. But yeah, all the advice from our psychic friends and from Alan was that the activity, such as it was, had been around the house, but seemed to be centred around the green room. So that was the place to be, was their recommendation. But of course, it's not an exact science. I don't think we can say case open or case closed. It's still case interesting, but inconclusive, I suppose.
Well, there we go. So that was the next morning. But now this is where it gets interesting, because you left recorders upstairs. You left yours outside Lady Edward's suite. Mm-hmm. Chris Pearson left his right on the top floor, outside a room which has reputedly seen a lot of activity over the years. Let's just hear what your recorder picked up. So this was about sort of 2.5-3 hours after you and Chris had gone to bed. There was absolutely no noise at all before it, no noise after it. Have a listen to this. So what you can hear there is the clock ticking in the background, and also what seems to be some knocks. And honestly, we can assure you there was no activity. If you look at the waveform, no activity before it or after it. There is that silence when you're both in bed. So that was Howard's one.
That's very odd. There's another little knock at the beginning of that one. I don't know if we picked up on that first run through it. There, the little knock there.
Yeah.
Very odd. And like, so you've got that reference of the clock going through. And then it's louder knock. It's, I don't know.
Okay. So that was your one. So you can hear those knocks there. This is what Chris picked up on his recorder. So we only found this when the WAV file was uploaded, and you can see this peak. Just have a listen to this. And listening to that through headphones, it is even clearer than it was when we first listened to it downstairs.
That is bizarre. I have another go just taking a bit of hiss out. Let's say it again.
So to all intents and purposes, that sounds like footsteps. You don't hear them arrive, you don't hear them leave, but it really does sound like somebody. You can even hear the heel toe.
I know, that sort of heel toe and that sort of scritch. And they were doing, there was a bit of work going on up there because some of the plaster had been coming off. They'd been working on the house, or was working not to modernise, but to restore the house. And yes, there had been some plaster work, and I seem to recall there was a bare floor, excuse me, and some bits of grit, and it was, I really don't know. I mean, that is so odd. It sounds like nothing other than footsteps. That is not a rodent. That is not the pipes or central heating. That is not the creaking of a floor. There was no wind, and it's not a rattling window. That sounds nothing, you know, like nothing other than footsteps. And then you're left with very few conclusions. I know it wasn't me. I know it wasn't Chris. I really believe him. He believes me. I know I didn't go to the loo, nor did he. And we certainly didn't go back upstairs to check to see how the recorder was. Even if we did, as you say, the footsteps stopped dead. And you don't go away again. So how could you walk out without making the noise? I don't know. So either someone else was in the house, or someone let themselves in from outside and somehow or other managed to creep up there without anyone knowing and just walk very close to the recorder and then vanish. Or there's another explanation.
Well, I think this is a story that has got more to come yet. There will be another trip to Milntown, I'm sure. And whatever the explanation is, I just think it's quite incredible that as we speak here on Hop Tune A in the Isle of Man, that rumour that Milntown is possibly the most haunted house in the Isle of Man could well be true.
You know what? It might well be. There's also this little sound, by the way. wasn't me knocking the microphone. Could have been a moth. It still is actually opens more questions than it closes. You know what?
What?
We're going to have to go back. That's pretty much it for this Hot Tune special. I hope you've enjoyed it. I hope you're as open-minded as we are. I can guarantee that we didn't make any of this up. The recordings are genuine. We were there and fascinating. Make of it what you will. Have a lovely Hop Tune, whatever you're doing. Bye-bye.